after a week of embarrassing revelations about inadequate Ebola preparedness at some U.S. hospitals and public fears mounting over a possible outbreak in the United States, President Obama announced the appointment of Ron Klain as the nation's Ebola coordinator today.
White House officials first resisted calls from Congress to name a lead figure on Ebola, but pressure built after two nurses at a Dallas-area hospital contracted the virus soon after caring for an Ebola patient who later died.
The move also coincides with breaking news today that the Pentagon is on lockdown as it investigates a possible Ebola case on its grounds.
Emma Roller joins us now. She's staff correspondent for the National Journal. She's also a former Badger, by the way, having graduated from the UW-Madison. Emma, welcome to the show.
Hi, great to be here.
So what do we know about this new, he's not really technically called a czar, I think, but about Ron Klain, who's going to coordinate Ebola efforts?
Right. Today in a press conference, Josh Earnest sort of tried to correct people and say, well, he's not a czar. He's an emergency response coordinator, but you can call him whatever you want. But this title of czar has been used by the U.S. government, you know, going back at least to the Nixon administration. Probably the biggest example is the AIDS czar, who was first put in place in 1993 as a point person to combat the AIDS outbreak. The Obama administration recently tapped Douglas Brooks as the most recent AIDS czar, who is HIV positive. So this most recent news sort of coincides with that, because people within the Obama administration are, you know, even going so far as to compare the Ebola outbreak to potentially have the same spreading power as AIDS.
So Ron Klain has been a chief of staff to two vice presidents now, I gather, Al Gore and Joe Biden. It sounds like he is more of a politics and management guy than a health guy. Is there a sense in Washington that's more what we need on this issue?
Right. Some people were sort of surprised by this pick because, you know, he's not a health official. He's not a doctor. He is coming from the political realm. Like you said, he served as chief of staff to Al Gore and Joe Biden. He's a veteran Democratic operative. So he seemed like sort of a strange choice for the Obama administration to make. But the Obama administration's take is that he will use that political experience he has to coordinate the more administrative effort to respond to the Ebola threat.
I know the White House had originally resisted calls to have a czar or coordinator in place. Why this turnaround? Why did Obama concede to appointing a coordinator?
Right. So it looks like the U.S. government has been reluctant in general to, you know, sort of try to, they don't want to induce panic, pretty much. So I think that may be an underlying reason for why they were reluctant to name a specific point person here, but now have realized that, you know, it's grown to the point where, yes, they should have this person in place. And a similar parallel is with the travel ban. A lot of members of Congress, especially Republicans, are calling for a travel ban from West Africa to the U.S., and that could be another tricky subject for the Obama administration to deal with, because up until now, they've said, no, we're not going to do a travel ban. This is not enough of a significant risk to merit that. But that means that if they were to put a travel ban in place, that could spark some panic.
Now, looking at the history of czars, or whatever they may be called at the time, how much are they granted power to tackle whatever issue they're facing? How much have they been figureheads?
It's a bit of a murky position. Like I said, it's sort of a catch-all term for a point person on a specific issue. A lot of times it's to deal with a crisis that the administration is going through. I mentioned the AIDS crisis. But there have been, czars appointed for crises as disparate as the Asian carp invasion in the Great Lakes, which I'm sure you guys are all very familiar with, to Y2K. In 1999, Bill Clinton appointed a czar to, you know, oversee any potential problems with the year 2000 interfering with computers.
Now, there's been some of the criticism of the Obama administration has been on the lines of, okay, you've got a CDC director, you've got these health people, but it doesn't seem like they're showing a lot of urgency. Nobody's there to light a fire under their butts in a way. And when I think of a job like chief of staff at a high level position, I think they're the people who go out and shake people up and make sure mm-hmm. that they have things, that they're keeping tabs on things. Is that what you see Ron Klain doing in this position?
Right. I think that's exactly right. I'm not sure if that's what's going to happen, but I certainly think that's what the Obama administration was thinking when they put him in this position. He, again, is not someone with public health experience. He is someone with vast political experience who will not be afraid to crack heads if necessary and, you know, sort of whip people into shape in the response to this.
What do you see? What's the talk about some challenges he'll face in this new role?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are many challenges. There's, you know, going from coordinating with the CDC to Homeland Security, who Ron Klain will be reporting to. Some have expressed concern that there's not a clear enough chain of command here, that, you know, this czar position, there won't be a clear enough order of where he's reporting to. But aside from that, you know, dealing with congressional reaction, dealing with public outcry, the potential for public panic, aside from, you know, just the pure health concerns about the disease spreading.
And do you see this as partly an attempt to minimize that panic? You had said that part of the resistance to appointing this position was to mm-hmm. not, you know, make people panic and not take it so seriously. Is this an answer to the sense of confusion that people are having about the administration's response?
Sure. Well, I think that the response has been sort of incremental. At first, some Republicans were calling for Dr. Tom Frieden, the director of the CDC, to resign, just as Julie Pearson resigned a few weeks ago over the Secret Service scandal. But now it seems that people have moved on to saying, okay, we need this, you know, point person in place, but still pushing for the travel ban. So it seems like people's response has been sort of incremental of, we need to get rid of the CDC director. No, we need to implement this person. Okay, now we need to, you know, enact a travel ban.
Have we heard response from Congress yet on this appointment? Are people happy, critical, wait and see?
Mm-hmm. There's been pretty disparate response. You get, you get reactions from someone like Marco Rubio saying, yes, it's important to have a specific person overseeing the administration response, to Ted Cruz, who has been saying, we don't need an Ebola czar. What we need is presidential leadership.
Now, you're there in D.C. I want to get your take. We had heard about this possible risk at the Pentagon, a lockdown. The USA Today, I understand, is reporting that this person does not have Ebola. That's what we're hearing. Appeared to have been a false alarm. We'll be waiting for more details on that. But you being in Washington, were people getting jumpy about this today?
People being in Washington and being at the sort of center of action, people, of course, get a little on edge about something like this. But I think that this particular instance is sort of confusing, because at first it said that this woman arrived at the Pentagon by bus, and she began vomiting on the bus around 9 a.m. here. And she claimed to have been from Liberia or West Africa. But now is saying that, you know, she doesn't have a passport. And so it's just a confusing story, and I'm trying to not to jump to conclusions about it, basically.
Well, later in the show today, we'll be talking about media coverage of issues related to Ebola. Maybe this will come up there, too. Emma, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Emma Roller. She's a staff correspondent for the National Journal.